हरे कृष्णा। अच्छा, आई वॉन्ट यू टू फाइंड फोर प्रॉप्स, फोर प्रॉप्स। प्रॉप्स मीन्स समथिंग दैट लाइक आई कैन सी, डू यू हैव अ बिग बॉटल? वेयर इज माई बॉटल विच यू गिव मी एवरी डे? ओके, इट्स हियर। ओके, सो आई वॉन्ट वन शॉर्ट डिवोटी एंड वन टॉल डिवोटी, और मे बी सेम, बोथ ऑफ देम कैन बी सेम हाइट ऑल्सो। रंगनाथ प्रभु एंड उत्सव प्रभु, वंशी प्रभु, उत्सव प्रभु। ओके, वंशी प्रभु, उत्सव प्रभु, प्लीज कम हियर, आई विल टेल यू वेन टू कम। ओके, जस्ट होल्ड ऑन, एंड दिस इज ओवर, देन या वील नीड दैट मटका ऑल्सो, पुट दैट ऑल्सो हियर, इफ यू कीप इट रेडी, दैट ग्लास। देन डू यू हैव एनीथिंग राउंड, और वी हैव समथिंग राउंड ऑल्सो? ओके, गुड। And can you find a flower somewhere? One preferably good big flower. You saw something? Okay. Yeah. Just with the stick you remove it. Okay. Lily. Lily is also fine. उधर से lily ले लो, वो better रहेगा. वो पीछे से एक single long lily ले लो, with the long, as long a stick as possible. Now I need it. Phil, you drink the water. अच्छा, उसमें कुछ था क्या? मिक्सर है क्या? पाउडर को डाला है क्या? प्लेन वाटर है? सॉरी, अच्छा आप साफ कर दो उसको, हम फिर से यूज करते हैं। ओके, so I hope you understood what we are doing. Oh, you didn't understand yet? Prabhuji understood. Okay. Four fours are? You remember studying permutations and combinations in your childhood? So if there are four spots and if there are four things you can fill it with, how many combinations do you get? 24. What is the formula? 4 factorial. Right? So we're going to do a game in, it's called 4 factorial. So that is what we are going to play now. Okay? So I'm just waiting for the Shanka. Shanka is coming with our Sachi Prabhu. So this is the Gada. This is the Padma. And this is the chakra. So we have Shankha Chakra, Gada, Padma. So we're going to visually, Vishnu is going to descend here now. 24 Vishnus are going to descend now. Be ready. Okay? They're going to avesh in the bodies of our Utsav Prabhu and Vamsi Krishna Prabhu. Okay? Okay, then let us continue. So all those different avataras that we saw, in north there were some directions, in east there were some deities, west, in all the four directions there were different avataras, so they are going to manifest. Then text 219, sarvatra prakashatara bhakta sukhadite bhakti jagatera adharmanashi dharmastapite.
The Lord is situated in all the universes in different forms just to please his devotees. Thus the Lord destroys irreligious principles and establishes religious principles.
So, as in the form of Archavigraha, the Lord manifests. So we saw the different deities that we saw yesterday. And some are direct incarnations, some as Archavigrahas, and he is mainly protecting. So many of these Swayambhu Vigrahas that we see are actually listed in that list. Whether be it the Padmanabha of, in Kerala, or Badrinath of Badri Vishal of Badrinath. So all these places, there are many of these deities are Swayambhu deities. So like that, there are many such Swayambhu deities which are there in other parts of the world also, but somehow they have been lost. We don't see. Once in a while we see some archaeological things happening, but otherwise, but these are all there. Ihara madhye karo hoye avatare ganana. Yeche Vishnu Trivikrama Narsimha Vamana.
Of these forms, some are considered incarnations. Example are Lord Vishnu, Lord Trivikram, Lord Narasimha, and Lord Vamana.
So my dear Sanatan, just hear from me as I tell you how the different Vishnumurtis hold their weapons. Beginning with, okay, Vishnumurtis, please come. So we need four hands, na? Okay. Because his two hands will be up. So you'll have to do a lot of hard work. Okay. Holding their weapons, beginning with the disc. Is somebody recording or not? Good. Prabhu is ready there. They are named differently according to placement of their weapons in their hand. Okay. The procedure for counting begins with lower right hand. Lower right hand kahan hai? Hilao. Udhar hilao. Yaar, video ko hilao. Haan. Lower right hand, lower se hilao. Haan. Lower right hand, then upper right hand, then upper left hand and lower left hand. So as upper, upper rakho. So the way we are seeing it is going in a clockwise direction starting from left to right. Okay. So as I am reading the names, you will have to, and where are, if this is Vishnu, then we need two Vishnu Dutas also, na? Who will pass on the weapons? Who will do Shringar? Jai. So you can both stand with two things at a time. Yeah, you need to pass it on to them. Okay, then. According to Siddhartha Samhita, there are 24 forms of Lord Vishnu. Chakra. Chakra ko thoda flat kar do chahiye to. I suppose daba do. Yes, that's perfect. First, I shall describe, according to the opinion of that book, the location of the weapons beginning with the disc. Okay. In the lower right hand, Vasudeva holds a club. Upper right hand, a conch shell. Abhi se Vishnu thak gaye. In the upper right hand conch shell, in the upper left hand a disc. And lower left hand is a lotus flower. Okay? So this is who? Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Are, Vishnu doesn't pray where. Vishnu Dutas will pray. Okay? Think everybody together. Okay. In the lower right hand, Sankarshan holds a club. Lower right hand. Aapka lower right hand mein club hi hai. In his upper right hand, a conch shell. Upper left hand, lotus flower. And lower left hand, disc. Eh? Tod diya. Dusra lao. Theek hai na? Usko. Ek aur lily leke aao. Okay, so this is Om Namo Bhagavate Sankarshanaya. Okay, abhi sequence, aap yaad rakho. Disc, conch shell, club and lotus. Disc, conch shell, club and lotus. Vishnu Dutas. Disc, conch shell, club and lotus. Om Namo Bhagavate Pradyumnaya. Thus, in the spiritual sky, the expansions headed by Vasudev hold weapons in their own respective order. I am repeating the opinion of the Siddhartha Samhita in describing them. Lord Keshava holds. Our Rakshan is thinking, kya ho raha hai udhar? Huh? Yes, Rakshan bhai, please waiting for you. Come. Why drama ho raha hai, main nahi hu. Theek hai. Lotus, conch shell, disc and club. This is Keshava. Namaha. Okay. Then Lord Narayan holds conch shell, lotus, club, disc. Conch shell, lotus, club, disc. Okay, this is Lord Narayan. Om Namo Narayanaya. Okay. Madhava holds club, disc, conch shell, lotus. Madhava. club disc conch shell lotus. This is Lord Madhav. Om Namo Bhagavate Madhavaya. Okay. Okay, now Lord Govinda holds disc, club, lotus and conch shell. Disc, club, lotus and conch shell. This is Lord Govinda. Yes, very good. Om Govinda. Okay, whatever. So sometimes our Vishnu Dutas get a little lazy in the prayers. Okay, Lord Vishnu holds club, lotus, conch shell and disc. Lotus, conch shell and disc. This is Lord Vishnu. Om Namo Vishnave Namaha. Okay, no problem. We are murkhas. We'll say Vishnaya, no problem. Then, Madhusudana holds disc, conch shell, lotus, club. Conch shell, lotus, club. Bas ho gaya. So every time the club is in left hand or lower left or lower right, Lord is little weak that day. Okay, this is Madhusudan. Okay, then Trivikram. Hey, isiliye to bhari hai. Lotus, club, disc, conch shell. Lotus, club, disc, conch shell. This is Lord Trivikram. Okay, then Vaman is Shankh Chakra Gada Padma. This is Lord Vamana. Sridhar is Padma Chakra Gada Shankha. Sridharaya Namaha. Lotus, disc, club, conch shell ho gaya? Very good. Sridhara. Okay. Hrishikesha is Gada Chakra Padma Shankha. Gada Chakra Padma. This is Lord Hrishikesha. Shankha Padma Chakra Gada is Padmanabha. Shankha Padma Chakra. Chakra. Gada. Padmanabha. Okay, Damodar. Padma Chakra Gada Shankha. Chakra. Gada. Shankha. Damodar. This Damodar is different from our Damodar, Yashoda Damodar. This is the Vishnu Damodar, okay? Next. Chakra Padma Shankha Gada. Chakra Padma Shankha Gada. This is Lord Purushottam. Then Gada, Padma, Chakra, Shankha is Lord Sri Achyuta. Okay, then, now favorite. Chakra, Padma, Gada, Shankha. Padma. This is Lord Narasimha. Okay, then Padma, Chakra, Shankha, Gada. This is Lord Janardhan. Then Shankha, Chakra, Padma, Gada. This is Lord Hari. Om Namo Hari Bol. Rakshan. Turban dressing. ठीक है. While they are dressing, हम ये dressing change, हाथ का dressing change करते हैं. Shankha, Gada, Padma, Chakra. Gada, Padma, Chakra, and correct time aapne dressing kiya because this is Sri Krishna. Okay, then Padma Gada Shankha Chakra. This is Lord Adhokshaja. Then Shankha Gada Chakra Padma. This is Upendra. Then, according to Hayashi Pancharatra, there are 16 personalities. Now I shall describe the opinion of how they hold their weapons. Then, Keshava is described differently as holding the lotus conch club disc. Keshava already, we did Keshava, remember? So, this is a slightly different. Previous Keshav ka kya formation tha? Bolo, Keshav.
Keshav, Lotus Conch Disc Club. Lotus
Conch. Pehle wala. Lotus Conch Disc. But isme club disc likha hai. This is, we are talking from the Hayashirsha Pancharatra. That is for you to find out. The names are in a sequence so that they circulate, the weapons circulate. There is no specific reason why this combination is this. I mean, upar conch hai to kya significance hai, niche club hai to kya significance hai, aisa kuch. There is nothing like that, yeah. So anyway, so please sit down. Thank you, yes. 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 So according to Hayashisha Pancharatra, Narayan and others are also presented differently as holding weapons. Where is Bhoga? That is our Amal Prabhu's. Pushpam offer kiya humne. Theek hai. Text number 240. So that is basically to wake you all up and bring you to class. And make sure everybody is here. Okay. Swayam Bhagavan Ara Lila Purushottama. Eidui Namadhare Vrajendra Nandana.
Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, indicated as the son of Maharaj Nanda, has two names. One is Swayam Bhagavan and the other is Lila Purushottama.
Continue.
Lord Krishna personally surrounds Dwarkapuri as its protector. In different parts of the city, in nine places, he expands in nine different forms. The nine personalities mentioned are Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayan, Nrisimha, Hayagriv, Varaha, and Brahma. I have already described the pastime and Prakash forms. Now please hear about the different personal expansions. The first personal expansion is Sankarsana, and the others are incarnations like the fish incarnation. Sankarsana is an expansion of the Purusha or Vishnu. The incarnations such as Matsya, the fish incarnation, appear in different yugas for specific pastimes. There are six types of incarnations, avatars of Krishna. One includes the incarnations of Vishnu, Purusha avatars, and other includes the incarnations meant for the performance of pastimes, that is Leela avatars. There are incarnations that control the material qualities, Gunavatars. Incarnations who appear during the ray of each Manu, Manvantara avatars. Incarnations in different millenniums, Yuga avatars. And incarnations of empowered living entities, Shaktyavesh avatars. Childhood and boyhood are the typical ages of the deity. Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, performed his pastime as a child and as a boy. There are innumerable incarnations of Krishna and there is no possibility of counting them. We can simply indicate them by giving the example of the moon and the branches of a tree.
What is moon and branch of the tree? We discussed last time, right? Shaka Chandana, yeah. Okay, continue.
O learned Brahmanas, just as hundreds and thousands of small rivulets issue from great reservoirs of water, innumerable incarnations flow from Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of all power. In the beginning, Krishna incarnates himself as the Purusha avataras or Vishnu incarnations. These are of three types.
We will read these verses from here, the important section. Vishnu Sru Trini Rupani Purusha Sakhya Tatho Viduhu Ekam Tu Mahatasrashtra Dvitiyam Tva Anda Samsthitam Tritiyam Sarva Bhutastam Tani Gyatva Vimuchyate.
Vishnu has three forms called Purushas. The first Mahavishnu is the creator of the total material energy, Mahat. The second is Garbhodashayi, who is situated within each universe. And the third is Shirodashayi, who lives in the heart of every living being. He who knows these three becomes liberated from the clutches of Maya.
So, the process of creation, why does the creation take place?
For the reformation of things.
Creation is not to reclaim. Creation is to basically, because they already went away, reclamation begins after the damage is done. So first is damage process. So that is where to facilitate the enjoyment of the living entities. So for that creation. So because we are trying to facilitate the enjoyment of the living entities, so it has to go in line with what does it take to enjoy. So what does it take to enjoy? What does it take to enjoy? But can you ever become like God? So then? But there is enjoyment in the material world, right? So? Huh? Just with sense objects you can enjoy? You need senses, sense objects and? Your answers are right. Huh? And environment is part of sense objects only. Yes, illusion that you are the body is yes. What does that illusion that you are the body lead to? So when you think you are the enjoyer, what comes in your heart? Huh? Okay, false entity and false pride are there. Then what happens next? Desires start coming. So what do you need? You need desires, you need senses and sense objects. When all these three come together, that is when enjoyment happens. These three factors are necessary. If you do not have any of them, then there is no concept of enjoyment. Senses and sense objects are there, but if you don't have desire, right? Your stomach is there, tongue is there, a plate full of rasgullas are there, but you are not hungry. Can enjoyment happen? No. And vice versa, any of them are missing, there is no enjoyment. So all these three, when they come together, only enjoyment takes place. But all these three need to be facilitated for the jiva. Because material world doesn't have any of these three things. So those three things are facilitated by the Purushavataras. That's the main role of each of the Purushavataras. Okay? So let us now continue. Ananta Shakti Madhya Krishna Ratina Shakti Pradhana. इच्छा शक्ति ज्ञान शक्ति क्रिया शक्ति नाम
कृष्णा हैज अनलिमिटेड पोटेंसीज आउट ऑफ विच थ्री आर चीफ विल पावर द पावर ऑफ नॉलेज एंड द क्रिएटिव एनर्जी
डिड आई टीच 2.5 टू यू गाइस सेकंड कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर अच्छा I to 2.6, I to 2.6. So in that 2.6, I was explaining this concept of, with our Virat Rupa, how it creates, how creation leads from the Virat Rupa's form. So in that section, if you remember, I quoted this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, you don't remember? Okay. Good. See, that is the advantage of Vidyapeet classes. I don't have to prepare anything new. I just have to keep repeating again and again. Every time I repeat, it looks new. That is the power of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is easy to be a speaker. You don't have to prepare anything. First of all, speaker also doesn't know much. That is another thing. So we are satisfied with mutual levels of ignorance. So these three shaktis, Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti, Just like how Krishna has these three potencies, but these three potencies need to be manifested in a practical way, and that is how the creation unfolds. So if you see this combination of triads, as I was using that word in that class also, triads means any set of three things together. Ishvara Jiva Prakriti is one triad, you know, Sattva Rajas Tamas is one triad. So you will see a lot of combination of triads in the creation. Sandhini, Sladini, Samvit potencies, that's another triad, right? So the combination is, because of the way the concept of how rasa exchange happens, so even in the absolute sense also there are three things only. There is enjoyment, enjoyer, and the enjoyed. So the process of enjoyment, the subject and the object, subject, object and the process, every interaction has these three things. So the entire creation also unfolds based on these three requirements. You have to facilitate or create these three requirements. So all the, if you actually analyze the whole process of creation, it follows these three things only. You will see a combination of, like, you know, can you think of any other example where we exhibited, like in the Virat Rupa also we saw. So what comes first? First the desire to taste comes. As soon as it desires to taste, the tongue manifests. And as soon as the tongue manifests, the sense of tasting then manifests. So the sense of tasting is the enjoyer. The object of taste is the enjoyed, and the desire is what the process, the other way around. The desire is the enjoyer, the process of that is happening through that sense, whichever is there, and the object is the thing that we are trying to, the enjoyed. So this combination you will see is a pattern you will see throughout. So whenever you are studying creation in the universe, you just remember this simple sutra. These three things are what you are analyzing in all. This is like the most basic truth. So this Ichha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti are also there. Krishna also has these three things. So then whose adhipati, who takes care of each of these three things, are now explained in the next verse. Ichha Shakti Pradhana Krishna Ichha Sarvakarta. Jnana Shakti Pradhana Vasudeva Adhishtata.
The predominator of the willing potency is Lord Krishna, for by His supreme will everything comes into existence. In willing, there is a need for knowledge, and that knowledge is expressed through Vasudeva.
Right? So the desire potency is, Krishna retains the desire potency. He doesn't outsource the desire potency. Why? Because he is ultimate enjoyer. He is the real enjoyer, right? So he is the rasika shekara. He is the one who wants to enjoy all the rasa. So he doesn't outsource that part. But the other two parts, jnana shakti and kriya shakti, the thinking part and then the activity part, that he outsources. So the jnana shakti he outsources to Vasudeva. And who does the work in the spiritual world? Sankarshan Balram. Icha Jnana Kriya Veena Nahaya Srajana. Tinera Tina Shakti Mele Prapancha Rachana.
There is no possibility of creation without thinking, feeling, willing, knowledge and activity. The combination of the supreme will, knowledge and action brings about the cosmic manifestation.
Kriya Shakti Pradhana Sankarshana Balaram. Prakrita Prakrita Shishti Karina Nirman.
Lord Sankarshan is Lord Balaram. Being the predominator of the creative energy, he creates both the material and the spiritual world.
So, Sankarshana Balaram is the one who is doing all the work. Whether in the spiritual world or the material world, he is the one who is doing everything. In spiritual world, he is doing as Balaram or Baladev. And in the material world, he is doing as Lord Shiva. He does the whole creation part. Shiva does creation? I thought Mahavishnu does creation. No? Mahavishnu just glances, that's all. But the entire poor work is done by Lord Shiva. So that many times in the scriptures when we read, Lord Shiva as a Parameshwar, in a sense they are not wrong. What they are doing basically is looking at the top. From material world, if you look at the top, the immediate divine personality you will see is Lord Shiva. But above him there are other personalities also. Like that. Ahankare adhishtana krishnera ichchaya goloka vaikuntha srije chitshakti dwaraya.
That original Sankarshan, Lord Balaram, is the cause of both the material and the spiritual creation. He is the predominating deity of egotism. And by the will of Krishna and the power of spiritual energy, he creates the spiritual world, which consists of the planet Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planets.
So this aspect of these three Shaktis is very important in the sense that just like how Krishna has these three Shaktis, as being Amsha of Krishna, do we also have these three Shaktis? Everything that Krishna has, like, because we are the drop of ocean, so we should also be as salty as Krishna. The quantity is different, but the tattva is same, or not tattva, but you could say the quality wise, at least qualitatively we are same. Right? So, do we also have all these three potencies?
Yes.
We do. So, do we have jnana potency? So, are you doing it by your own capacity? Does the soul, by its own capacity, get jnana in the conditioned state? There is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is facility, that is Balaram. Chit is knowledge, which is Vasudev. Ananda is Krishna. So spiritual, once you are liberated also, you have all these three potencies. Now my question is, in the conditioned state, do you still have all these three potencies? So how does it happen? Go ahead.
Bro, in the conditioned state, we have only the first potency, that is the willing potency. My speculation.
Okay.
And the other two are actually facilitated by Paramatma.
Both are facilitated by Paramatma? Knowledge. Paramatma is doing everything then.
Knowledge and action.
But who is doing the action part? Paramatma is not doing any action. Yes, I agree to the fact that he is doing knowledge part.
I mean the body, the material energy. Prakriti.
Yeah. But who is that Prakriti? Expansion of Sankarshana, Shiva, Durga. You see the connection? So if you trace back their origins, it again comes back to Sankarshan Vasudev. Who is Paramatma? Expansion of? Kshirodaksha Vishnu. Kshirodaksha Vishnu is an expansion of? Of? No, OTK. But among the Chaturvyuha, who manifests? Sankarshan Vasudev, Kshirodakshai? Sure? Sankarshan, Pradyumna is? Mahavishnu is Sankarshan, because he is the Ahankar, that's, you will see that connection. Pradyumna is Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and actually Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they form these three Purushavataras, and Vasudev is beyond these three. And that Vasudev's expansion are these three, the second quadruple expansion. Described that actually Sankarshan expands into another four. But it is described that this Vasudev is a source of all the expansions even among the Chaturvyuha. So actually indirectly it is described that Vasudeva, that's why whenever we refer to as the knowledge potency, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sahamatma Sudulva. Vasudeva itself, the word means one who is all cognizant. So that knowledge potency also which Paramatma is getting is coming from the potency of Vasudev. So the Jiva, in its conditioned state, basically doesn't have the Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti under its control. Material nature and Paramatma are doing that. But the Ichha Shakti is still under its control. Jiva does not outsource his Ichha Shakti. That is a proof that we are, when we talk about Achintya Bedha Abheda Tattva, so this is an example. In terms of the Abhedas, our Ichha, we also have exactly same Ichhas, the free will is under our control. Just like how Krishna has things under control. But the Abheda part comes in terms of our Jnana and Kriya potencies. Sorry? Plain? The Bedha part is in terms of the Jnana and Kriya potencies. So this is a very important, because moment you remove the Ichha potency also from the Jiva, it is no more Jiva, it is Prakriti. Prakriti is Krishna's energy without free will. Krishna's energy with free will is Jiva. So that essential difference you understand. So which means, we still have the choice at every moment to exercise our free will in the right way. Material nature cannot influence or force us to exercise our free will in the wrong way. So the very idea that I am just helplessly being controlled and pushed around by material nature itself is a wrong conception. It's not the absolute conception. It is not that the jiva is just helplessly being kicked by material nature. The jiva has the capacity and potency to exercise its free will and act against the influence of material nature. But the strength to do that comes by Daiviyeshi Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya. Maam eva prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Like that. So once Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was asked by one very famous Indian scholar that why did Krishna create jivas with free will? Life would have been so nice if we didn't have free will, na? Automatically, hum log sab devotee ban jao. Because of free will only and misusing of free will, we are suffering in the material world. Why Krishna created free will? So then Bhakti Siddhanta explains, actually free will is what that makes jiva jiva. Otherwise, it's no more jiva, it is prakriti. If Ishvara, Krishna is vibhuchit, infinitely free will, the jiva is anuchit. But the chit, that free will potency is what, that is the fundamental characteristic of the soul. That has to be there. So that nature comes from Krishna's these three potencies of. So even when we parashakti vidyashvete swabhaviki, jnana bala kriyacha. So the same three potencies are also being referred to in that Padma Puran quotation. What is jnana? Jnana, jnana. Bala is? Ichha Shakti. Bala is not strength in that verse. If you read the translation also, it's not strength. Bala means ability to do, but that ability to do is preceded by desire. Right? And then swabhi jnana bala kriyacha. Third one is Kriya Shakti. So this is the science of how we are simultaneous and different, you can understand from these three potencies. Then,
see, in beginning chapters, the first seven chapters, there is mentioned how Lord Sankarsan, Mool Sankarsan, original Sankarsan, and then another expansion of Chaturvyo comes, and then from that Sankarsan, another set of Chaturvyo and then Mahavishnu and further in. Now you said Vasudeva is the source. So this first time we are hearing this.
Well, this is mentioned also in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. In the prayers of Jambudvipa, you will see this. Actually, this is a famous ambiguity. Suvata Swami Maharaj wrote a whole paper on this. Who is coming from whom? Is Vasudev the source or is Sankarsan the source? So probably at some time I'll pass on that paper to you. It's a very nice article.
But then initially Nityanand Mahatma it comes, na? Kyao, he is a Mool Sankarsan and then Sankarsan. There is no mention.
But Nityananda Prabhu is also coming from?
He is a Mool Sankarsan.
See, just like, so you will see this similes always. Just like how Krishna is the avatari. And he has his plenary expansions. Mahaprabhu is the avatari. He has plenary expansion, Nityananda Prabhu. Likewise, Vasudev is at Mool Avatar. And then there is Sankarshan. All the four Chaturvyuhas, all the three other three Chaturvyuhas, they have their origins in Vasudev. And then they expand. So this, actually the Chaturvyuha are the main subject matter in the Vedic texts. They don't talk about any of these other avatars that we discussed. All these four combinations, all the circus that we did, hardly anybody reads it. In the Vedic literatures, especially in all the Rig Veda literatures and all that. So they actually talk about the Chaturvyuha being the, even more than Garbhodakshaya, Shirodakshaya, Karunadakshaya, Vishnu, it is the Chaturvyuhas who are explained to be the main source of the creation. And so Shankaracharya also wrote lot of, but then his interpretation, unfortunately, he presents them as Saguna Brahman, and then later on they are. So do you remember this one very nice purport that Prabhupada writes in 5th chapter of Adilila? 40? Yeah, that's I think one of the huge. So in that whole purport is based on counteracting Shankara's view on the Chaturvyuhas. So that is the relevance and significance of studying about the Chaturvyuhas. Because all these potencies, so the ability to desire, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha, they are one-to-one mapped with the Chaturvyuhas. And actually they say, like for example, who is a controller of the mind? Aniruddha Moon, right? So this is, of course, this is a little Mayavadish, but this is how Shankara explains that this Aniruddha is the one Saguna Brahman expands as this Aniruddha, and that mind that you are having is actually Aniruddha who is acting. So it's not you, it is Aniruddha. So the Ahankar that you carry is actually Sankarshan. The senses that you are carrying and the sense activity that you do is all Pradyumna. The intellect is Pradyumna, which is motivating action. Intelligence is the motivation for action. So all these three are that Sankarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. But you, the soul, are Vasudev. So within your body is the Chaturvyuha. So like that they explain, and they extend that understanding to every aspect of creation. Everything in the creation is a play of these four Chaturvyuhas, who are ultimately an expansion of that one Brahman. They are the Saguna, mode of goodness, plus that Brahman creates these four forms, and they are the ones who are, and their manifestations are only these four avatars, or all the avatars that you see. So this is a subject matter which this is how they explain, and they have Shastic references also for this, because some Rigvedic verses and some Upanishads, they talk about the Chaturvyuhas being present within you, so they take references from that and then they try to explain. But that's why you may be wondering, why all of a sudden, why so much of emphasis about Chaturvyuha every time? I mean, who cares? First primary Chaturvyuha, secondary expansion, primary expansion, why all this? Because in many scriptures, Upanishads, these Chaturvyuha have been very, so many times repeated and spoken of. So in order to create a Shastric and a cultural context, our Acharya is also present, and Mahaprabhu also is presenting in terms of all these expansions and Chaturvyuhas. So that's the background. Otherwise, without knowing that relevance, you say, why all this information? Whom is he trying to convince? So this is to convince all those people also, like that. Yeah, but again, that Mula Sankarshan's potency is coming from, so Balaram, this is, there is one book called as, in CC, it's not directly mentioned in CC, Baldev Devushan wrote one book called as Aishwarya Kadambini. So in that he describes the entire spiritual world. So it explains is, even among the Chaturvyuhas, so even though it's all directly coming from Balaram, ultimately, because like I said, Krishna is just expanding as Balaram and he is enjoying his rasa pastimes. And poor Balaram is the one who is expanding, he's creating the whole show, right? But even though the all these Chaturvyuhas are expansion of Balaram, But that Vasudev in the Chaturvyuha is directly coming from Krishna. So in that sense, if Chaturvyuhas have their origin in Balram and Balram have their origin in Krishna and Krishna is at Vasudev, so therefore Vasudev is the origin of the Chaturvyuha. But for the sake of expansion, it is externally happening through Sankarshan expanding into the second quadrupole also. So in that point of view, Sankarshan is the main source of expansion. Vasudev is always Krishna. Whenever Vasudev expands, it is direct link. It is not Balram. It is directly Krishna. There is Vasudev, yes. Even in the Chaturvyuha also, when Vasudev appears, he carries the direct potency from Krishna. So just like we say, sometimes when Krishna expands, easy expansion of Vishnu, technically he comes from Vishnu, expands out of Vishnu, and because Vishnu is the embassy of the material world. A spiritual embassy in the material world is Vishnu Loka. So he may come through the door of Vishnu. That's why the demigods and Brahma, they went and prayed to Vishnu and then Vishnu takes them to Krishna and then they praise, but he finally manifests through Vishnu. So this confusion is there because the door from which Mahaprasad comes out is the Pujari's door. But actually Pujari is not cooking. The kitchen is cooking. But for us, our access point is the Pujari's door. So we may think, oh, it seems like the Pujari is doing everything inside. Right? But actually, so whenever you see, but then, in the Mahaprasad plate, when you see Madhuram, it even bypasses the kitchen. It has direct access to the back Madhuram room. It comes straight from the Madhuram room to your hand. Right? Rest of the prasad comes from kitchen, bhoga or water, it comes from the kitchen. But this one particular type of prasad, whenever you see Madhuram, you have to understand it is not made in kitchen, even though it is coming through the channel of kitchen and the backup room. Does it make sense? Not practical. Lot more practical, yeah. See? So these are just some additional details, you don't have to worry. But why I emphasize this was, sometimes in scriptures when you read, even in Bhagavatam also when you will read Vasudev as the source of Chaturvyuha. Sometimes you will see Sankarshana as the source of Chaturvyuha. Don't get confused, both are right. So Narayan first expands into the, so Narayan expansion are still in the Balram route only. So Balram's expansion, Narayan, the first Chaturvyuha, then Sankarshan, who is also Balram, expands as second Chaturvyuha, then that second Sankarshan expands as Mahavishnu and he continues the creation. So that is all the Balram route. Bypassing that Balram route is Vasudev, Krishna, coming in like that. Anyway. Yadyapi asrijanitya chakti vilasa. Tathapi Sankarshana Ichhaya Tahara Prakasha.
Although there is no question of creation as far as the spiritual world is concerned, the spiritual world is nonetheless manifested by the supreme will of Sankarshana. The spiritual world is the abode of pastimes of eternal spiritual energy.
Yeah, continue reading.
Gokul, the supreme abode and the planet appears like a lotus flower that has 1,000 petals. The world of that lotus is the abode of Supreme Lord Krishna. This lotus-shaped supreme abode is created by the wheel of Lord Ananta. You know, Ananta and Sankarshan.
Yes, they are expansion. They are in that same Balram route.
By the agency of the material energy, this same Lord Sankarshan creates all the universes. The dull material energy known in the modern language as nature is not the cause of material universe.
This is a very important point. This is where again the Vedanta differs from the other six systems of philosophy. Because Sankhya, though we say it is like dualism, it gives Prakriti a status independent from the Purusha. Prakriti is a dual of Purusha. It is not subordinate of Purusha. Which means, Prakriti can act independent of Purusha. That is where Vedanta, we put our foot down and say, no, this is not possible. Prakriti is always jadya. It is dull matter. It cannot act without the intervention and potency of Purusha entering into it. So, based on that line of thought, now Mahaprabhu is going to explain what is giving potency for matter to be material. What is material means? It can transform, it can expand, it can create the whole variety that you are seeing in this creation. Where is matter getting that ability? If it's dull matter, can matter by itself, like if you have that clay mold, can clay mold by itself become a pot? It cannot. It has to be acted upon by someone. Who is that? Who is giving that potency for clay to become malleable? Well, to be technically more correct, there is a Purusha also, that is a separate person, that is the immediate cause. But we are talking about even material energy to be called as material cause. How is it getting that potency to expand further and become into this? Is it independent? Because even when we talk about the five truths, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, even though we are putting them as five independent, distinct tattvas, still the other four tattvas are very strongly dependent on the Ishvara tattva. Ishvara stands above all of them, right? So that distinction has to be maintained. Because moment we think these five tattvas are five independent tattvas, we are no more discussing Vedanta. We are discussing some other system of philosophy. Like that. Okay? So continue.
Without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy, dull matter cannot create the cosmic manifestation.
Mm.
Its power does not arise from the material energy itself, but is endowed by the Sankarshan.
Yeah. So in the Adilila, who is this? Who is giving ability to matter to transform and to create? Yes, loudly, somebody said. Advaita Acharya, yes. So Advaita Acharya has two potencies. One as Shiva and as Mahavishnu. So as he does both. He is the, what is it? The verse, that very nice verse comes somewhere in between text 15 to 20 ke beech mein verse aata hai. It talks about how this Maya as Pradhan and the ability. So as material cause and immediate cause, Maya has two functions. Yeah, as Nimitta and Upadana, it has two functions. But both of these potencies are ultimately coming from Advaita. Advaita Acharya. Yeah. And that Advaita is one level, just one level higher than Sankarshan, Sadashiv, or Shiva in with respect to material world. Sorry? That is Hetu. One who is glancing is Hetu, but Maya, Prakriti is the Nimitta. Pradhan is the, let's read one more verse ahead, it will come ahead. Ishvara Shakti Shishti Karaya Prakriti.
Ishvara Shakti Shishti.
Lauhayena Agni Shakti Payadaha Shakti.
Dull matter alone cannot create anything. The material energy produces the creation by the power of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iron itself has no power to burn, but when iron is placed in fire, it is empowered to burn.
Continue. Balram and Krishna are the original, efficient and material causes of the material world. As Mahavishnu and the material energy, they enter into the material elements and create the diversities by multi-energies. Thus, they are the cause of all causes. Shishti hetu yei murti prapancha avatare Seishwara murti avatara namadhare.
The form of the Lord that descends into the material world to create is called an avatar or incarnation. All the expansions of the Lord Krishna are actually residents of the spiritual world. But when they descend into the material world, they are called incarnations, avatars. To glance over that material energy and empower her, Lord Sankarshan first incarnates as Lord Mahavishnu. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of the material creation. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for the creation. This was for the purpose of manifestation of the material universes. Karanab Dishai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects. The mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of the nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord. Garbhodashayi Vishnu and the sum total of all the living beings, both moving and non-moving. That original personality of Godhead, named Sankarshan, first lies down in the river Viraja, which serves as a border between the material and the spiritual world. As Karanabdishayi Vishnu, he is the original cause of the material creation.
So Sankarshan is Karanabdishayi Vishnu or Mahavishnu. Next.
The Viraja or causal ocean is the border between the spiritual and the material world. The material energy is situated on one shore of that ocean and it cannot enter onto the other shore, which is the spiritual sky. In the spiritual world, there is neither the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, nor the mixture of both, nor is the adulterated goodness, the influence of time and Maya herself. Only the pure devotees of the Lord, who are worshipped both by demigods and by the demons, reside in the spiritual world as the Lord's associates.
Then the next verse which you are wanting, it came. Maya raye dui vritti maya ara pradhana. Maya nimitta hetu vishvera upadana pradhana.
Maya has two functions. One is called Maya and another is called Pradhana. Maya refers to the efficient cause and the Pradhana refers to the ingredients that create the cosmic manifestation.
So efficient or the instrumental causes are the same. Which means, so potter is Maya as Maya Devi, and the mud which is transforming into the pot is Pradhana. So both of these are material energies. And the person who is glancing over and triggering the whole thing, Hetu, or the ultimate cause is Sankarshan, Shiva, Mahavishnu, Balram, Krishna. That is the parampara. Maya is Durga, Maya Devi. How can she be material? Maya is Jiva. When did she become Jiva? She is Krishna's external energy. She's Shakti Tattva. She's not. She's just like how in the spiritual. Obviously, Durga. So, just like how there is heat and cold are the same manifestations of energy, Krishna's internal Antaranga Shakti. Or Krishna's internal shaktis, when they manifest, they remain as internal energies if you're approaching them for service and they give you pleasure accordingly. But moment you think of selfish enjoyment, that same internal energy from cold, it becomes hot and it becomes tapakari, it becomes Durga. So interestingly, when I was giving this analogy to one Western group of people or people coming from a different part of the world, I was giving the example that, oh, see, Mahaprabhu's lotus feet are like so cooling and the Maya's, this thing, are like so hot. They're like the sun, burning like the sun, hot like the sun. So for a moment, I saw some confusion in their face because they could not relate with this analogy. Because it's a nice, why is Mahaprabhu so cold? It should be warm like the sun, na? Because in the western part of the world where it is freezing cold most of the time, the analogy of Mahaprabhu's feet being cooling is not very cooling. And Maya being warm and hot is actually nice. So they seem to, Maya is nice. Mahaprabhu is cold. Right? So this little, we will sometimes repeat the Shastric analogies as it is, but you have to understand the cultural context also. So then I understood the confusion and I immediately changed my analogy. Then they started smiling. Ah, yes. Suddenly you can sense from the audience face that some confusion, huh? Like that. So it's even just a side topic. When we were doing many years ago, we were doing our first Artha conference, 2014 or something like that. So that time, not 2014, 2013. Yeah, that's many years ago. Because after that we have the whole change, the concept, so many things have changed since those days. And those are like were our very, very primitive days. That time nothing was there. Even the garden in front of, we had to like, remember, all night, including Gaurang Prabhu, everybody was there putting pots outside amenities and covering that brown patch. Ask your first batch of Vidyapeeth seniors. They also, poor fellows, they were working all night. That time, of course, somehow I was fortunate. I was always inside the hall. I never had to come out of the hall in my sevas. So there was one very interesting character who was a videographer who had come. He was like some big time documentary maker or someone. So he was explaining to me the science of lights. He was saying that why Indians we prefer, you know, there are warm light and cool lights. No? In India we put a lot of white, bluish lights. In the West they like to put a lot of warm lights. Like if you ask Maharaj also, he likes warm lights. So many times we used to, and dim warm lights. Because it's like a psychological thing. Because you prefer sun. Warm light reminds you of sun, and they have fond memories of sun. So one of the things, like if you see many Western poets also, they glorify, oh, today the sun is out, let's go to the park, let's go to the river, right? In India, we're like, oh no, sun is out, let's go inside the house. So we don't have... Huh? Like if chand nikalta, then we want to go out. So the context is different. So he was explaining that how this lights also have very strong psychological impression on the people in the room and everything. So, but anyway, so his idea was, let's put one yellow light and one white light, both. So that will counteract, because in shooting it comes very well if you have both the tones. And if you've seen these new age mobile phones which are coming with a dual tone LED. Yeah, it has two tones. It has a bright warm tone. It has a cooling white tone also. So that combination of these two lights creates natural light. Apparently so. So just some photography information for... But then it's, yeah, but best to capture it on, like, especially when you're doing video shooting, you can't keep adjusting the water, iska filters laga ke wagera wagera, it takes a lot of time. Better get it right while shooting itself. Like that. Okay, then, Sei Purusha Maya Pane Kare Avadhana Prakriti Shobhita Kare Kare Virye Radhana.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead glances over the material nature, she becomes agitated. At that time, the Lord injects the original semen of the living entities. To impregnate with the seeds of the living entities, the Lord Himself does not directly touch the material energy, but by His specific functional expansion, He touches the material energy. And those living entities who are His part and parcels are impregnated into the material nature.
Continue.
At a time beyond memory, after agitating the material nature into three qualities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead placed the semen of the innumerable living entities within the womb of that material nature. Thus the material nature gave birth to the total material energy known as the Hiranmaya Mahatattva, the original symbolic representation of the cosmic manifestation. In due course of time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaikunthanath, by the agency of the further expansion of His personal self, Mahavishnu, place the seed of the living entity within the womb of material nature.
Hmm. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. So the in due course of time, sorry, where is that? Yeah. At a time beyond the material nature gave birth to total material nature known as a Hiranmaya Mahatattva. So the Hiranya Garbha, inside that Hiranya Garbha, once the transformation starts beginning, so whenever you see the word Hiranmaya, it is like the potent form ready for abhi sab pagya ped. Aam pagya ped pe, khane ke liye ready hai. That state is a Hiranmaya state. So even the Mahatattva, from the Pradhan, when it starts transforming, just when it is ready and ripe, ready to transform into now the three gunas come out and then the false ego and all the different vikaras keep taking place, that potent state at which Mahatattva is ready is the Hiranmaya Mahatattva. All of this is happening inside the golden egg, the Hiranya Garbha. So inside this Hiranya Garbha, there is Hiranmaya Mahatattva which is undergoing these transformations. Now, many times because of our lack of understanding, we try to visualize things. So it is literally not that aisa physical egg koi hai aur uske andar kuch to hai. It's not exactly something inside of something. Remember, we are not even talking about intelligence and mind here. These are subtle than even intelligence, mind, and subtler than the ahankar also. So what exactly is these, we cannot comprehend it. Just like how like yesterday I was telling Prabhu, you cannot measure what is the length of the idea that you are having right now. What is the length of the thought that you are having right now? What is the weight of the smell that you are getting right now? Right? We cannot, or what is the volume of the hunger that you are having right now? By the way, is there anything coming now? No breaks then. You spoiled us last 3 days. So no breaks without any Mahaprasad. Yeah, at 12 o'clock we'll have a break. Very good. I like such long classes. So the idea is, you cannot comprehend these things, so therefore something inside something. Actually there's, so in that sense they're all at a plenary level also. So Hiranya Garbha, Hiranya Mahatattva are also plenary. So sometimes you'll see these words using equivocally also. But this is how the difference is. There is, so it's not that Hiranya Garbha expansion of Mahavishnu, it's not like that. Okay.
Then the spiritual particle is the most subtlest.
Spiritual particle is the most subtlest, yes.
That is why, in a way, if it is if it is said that everything is impersonal.
Everything is impersonal, yeah, huh?
Generally, my relatives, they speak in these terms that everything is impersonal because everything is so subtle.
Hmm.
Everything is so subtle, you just cannot perceive it. So they just say it is impersonal like that.
So Prabhupada, he explains the same thing. Na? When you call something as nirguna, it is nirguna, literally nirguna only, because our gunas are comprehensible only on the context of the material world. So it is nothing like matter. That is why it is nirguna. But it's still, to call it impersonal is our shortcoming in understanding. It can be subtle and personal simultaneously. Just that because we cannot comprehend it, our frame of reference is only, like the Dr. Frog. That's a proper example of Dr. Frog. You have only seen the well. You have no idea what an ocean is like. So you cannot just estimate an ocean on how many wells equivalent is ocean. You just can't do it. So like that, we just can't comprehend what spiritual truths can be, spiritual reality can be, just on the limitedness of the material nature. We cannot do that. So you have to go there and find out. Probably even if you go there, you will not find out actually. You will never be able to find out. Because the moment you find out, you become Krishna, which is not possible. So that mystery will always remain about creation. That is how I try to reconcile myself whenever such confusing things come. Even after going to spiritual world also, because if I understand entirety of creation, then I am equivalent to Krishna. I am matching Krishna. I am beating Krishna by my intelligence. But Krishna is unconquerable, is ajita, which means in every sense, intellectually also, you cannot conquer Krishna. So how can I understand his creation? How can I match him by intelligence? He is adhokshaja. I cannot asamardhva. Nobody can be equal to him. So I cannot match him in terms of my intelligence, even after liberation also. So that's how it is. So whenever there is confusion creation, please understand. Only Krishna knows. Nobody else can comprehend it. To whatever limited extent we can understand, you understand and be happy that you understood. That's all. And move on. After creation, what next? Focus on that. Like that. Okay. Continue, please.
First, the total material energy, 276. First, the total material energy is manifested, and from this arise the three types of egotism, which are the original sources from which all demigods, controlling deities, senses, and material elements expand.
So, I am not repeating all this because you guys are expert in this from third canto. Okay, continue.
Combining all the different elements, the Supreme Lord created all the universes. Those universes are unlimited in number, there is no possibility of counting them. The first form of the Lord Vishnu is called Mahavishnu. He is the original creator of the total material energy. The innumerable universes emanate from the party pores of his body. These universes are understood to be floating in the air that Mahavishnu exerts. They are like atomic particles that float in the sunshine and pass through the holes of the screen. All these universes are thus created by the exhalation of Mahavishnu, and when Mahavishnu inhales, they re-enter his body. The unlimited opulences of Mahavishnu are completely beyond material conception. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is the portion of plenary portion. Mahavishnu is the super soul of all the universes. Lying on the causal ocean, he is the master of all the material worlds. I have thus explained the truth of first personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. I shall now explain the glories of the second personality of Godhead. After creating the total number of universes, which are unlimited, Mahavishnu expanded himself into the unlimited forms and entered into each of them. When Mahavishnu entered each of the limitless universes, he saw that there was darkness all around and that there was no place to stay. He therefore began to consider the situation.
So just ponder over this statement. He entered into universe and saw there was no place to stay. So what does it mean? Forget structure. Space itself was not there. What you call as length, directions itself were not created that time. Yeah, but when the universe just manifests, even the idea of the four directions or eight directions or whatever unlimited directions according to the dimension of the universe, nothing has been set. So we cannot imagine what it means to have. It's not like ऐसा खाली रूम में जाके देख रहे हैं क्या क्या भरूं इधर कौन सा फर्नीचर लाऊं इधर ऐसा नहीं है रूम हाँ ईथर हैज टू बी देयर ना स्पेस कंपोनेंट कम्स फ्रॉम ईथर डिस्टेंस लेंथ ये सब ईथर से आता है ईथर ही नहीं बना तो व्हाट विल यू कॉम्प्रीहेंड एट दैट स्टेज सो दैट इज व्हाई वी आर लिमिटेड सो यू मे बी वंडरिंग ये सब डिस्क्रिप्शन कहाँ से आया So many times in their very advanced samadhi and in their trance, sages like Vyasdeva or Sukadeva, they could see all these pictures. When they sit in their trance, they would actually go into Brahmanda and they could actually see. They just like how sometimes you can feel yourself. Can you feel yourself? You can Can you understand this meaning, right? What you mean to feel? Because it's a little, maybe, what feel yourself? Or maybe after a heavy workout or a lot of heavy physical seva, you can feel how the blood is flowing literally through your body, your heart is beating, you can hear your breath. Does it ever happen? So all these things is where you are actually aware of yourself. So just like how you become aware of yourself at that moment, through physically exciting or triggering your some action, that's what basically what yoga does. What they do during Shavasana basically is this simple funda. You first work hard so much, then you become aware of yourself. Then when you do some, when you take a break in between and then you try to breathe, your focus is very strongly there on your internal organs and your internal parts. And by the self-healing capacity of the body, you are able to address the pain or the disease on that particular part of the body. Or by through breath or whatever, right? So pranayama and hatha yoga works on this concept. But that is only still physical or prana excitation. When you excite yourself at a spiritual level, you also become spiritually aware of everything around you. So just like how you can feel your body and internal things, you can also sit here and you can feel and see and visualize and be there in the entire universe simultaneously. And that is how you observe. Oh, this is how creation is taking place. And that is how these descriptions have been written and spoken of. At a very, very advanced state of your practice, at that advanced higher level of consciousness, this is what happens. Right? And of course, by the mercy of the Lord, these things are revealed. So this part the yogis don't talk about. If you read any of the yoga books at the advanced stage of samadhi, beyond Kaivalya, what happens? Right? They talk about all these kind of mystical descriptions, but they just don't mention one thing. All of this ultimately happens by mercy of the Lord only. He is the one who is revealing this picture to the limited jiva. The unlimited picture of the universe is revealed to the limited picture, limited jiva, through the mercy of the Lord. So that we are trying to work access like that. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Good question. Is it imagination? So, it is what they are seeing is actually the truth. Because, can I just say that this tree that you are seeing in front of you, I can also call it your imagination. Or anything that you are perceiving in the physical world around you, is it imagination or is it real? Why is it real? Why is it imagination? Let's come down to like general human level here, okay? Not Vidyapeeth students, not abnormal humans, normal humans, right?
And then by touching it and by, you know, by tasting it, they're different.
So just like how you are using your material faculties to perceive the physical reality around you, they are also using their spiritual faculties to see the physical reality around them. Give you a very simple, comprehensible example. As soon as a doctor looks at a patient, just looks at a patient, you and I will not be able to see, but he is seeing through a different faculty. He is able to perceive. He is right. Just like that, think of, extend that understanding now. That is how these advanced devotees and sages and yogis and whatever these people, Siddha Purushas, are observing the physical reality. Okay, continue.
284. After creating the total number of universes which are unlimited, Mahavishnu expanded himself into unlimited forms and entered into each of them. When Mahavishnu entered each of the limitless universes, he saw that there was darkness all around and that there was no place to stay. He therefore began to consider the situation. With the perspiration produced from his own body, the Lord filled half the universe with the water. He then lay down on that water on the bed of Lord Shesh. When there was no place, how the water was filled?
There was.
I don't know. I don't know. If I know, I will be Mahavishnu. What is that space he filled? What is that water in the first place? Water also is not created.
Water is, that is written.
Huh?
Perspiration.
But water, abhi creation, water is an element, na? The tanmatras were created much later when ahankar mixes with. Huh? Transcend water. It's not material water. So then that is transcendental space. If you're happy with that answer. Like I said, these things we can't comprehend. Right?
A lotus flower then sprouted from the lotus navel of that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. That lotus flower became Lord Brahma's birthplace.
So you didn't get a doubt how lotus came from his navel?
That is also...
Okay. Because like when of India we are like trainers, right? From childhood we see Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, we see the Padmanabha Vishnu and all that. So we get used to lotuses growing out of navels. But first time when a Westerner reads this kind of, it's like, which religion am I following? It's like, sounds like, you know, voodoo stuff, you know. All some kalpita, imaginary. It all sounds very imaginary. But that's how it is. That's how creation is.
Just because we know what is lotus, what is stem, maybe the sages used those words. Because it might be something.
Like a metaphorical or allegorical description. It's not really a lotus. It looks like a lotus. So like I said, these are all seen by in trance. One thing which is a proof that it is not an imagination is, imagination is individual. If all of us cannot imagine a tree here, if all of us are seeing tree here, then there has to be a tree. Right? So this is called as... No. There is a terminology for this. It's called participatory truth. In 1960s, there was a scientist named as Owen Barfield. He studied this concept of reality and illusion, and he came up with this. By the way, all his work is based on our Vedic scriptures. Because his teacher was a Vedic follower. He spent 20-30 years in India. He was the leader of the Theosophical Society in India, along with Annie Besant and all these people. They studied a lot of the Vedas. He is the one who taught biodynamic farming to the Western world, taking all our Indian techniques, repackaging it and selling it as biodynamic farming. And his student was this Owen Barfield. So he also studied, but then to his credit, he gave a lot of theoretical and mathematical proof to this whole concept of. So what he says is, participatory truth means everybody is able to perceive it together. So we are all participating in this illusion together. So therefore, because we are all participating together, we are all seeing it, therefore it actually exists. That is how truth is. So fundamentally speaking, there is no tree. There is only some group of bunch of electrons in modern science language. There are electrons and protons and the nucleus around, floating around in space. All these group of electrons, protons together are participating together. They have bound themselves together in the form what we perceive as tree. What is just out next to the tree? Huh? Air. But that air also is electrons and protons and nucleus. So what is the difference? Why this is not called tree? Why that is called tree? Because those group of elements have decided to participate as a tree, and we also are participating in their reality called as tree. Therefore, it is real. That is how reality and illusion are defined. Hari bol, okay? Anybody wants to read more, I have this nice book by Barfield. If you like, you can read more. If this kind of stuff excites you. Chalo, continue.
In the stem of that lotus flower, the 14 worlds were generated. Then he became Lord Brahma and manifested the entire universe. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form of Vishnu maintains the entire material world. Since he is always beyond the material qualities, the material nature cannot touch him. The Supreme Lord in his form of Rudra, Lord Shiva, brings about the dissolution of this material creation. In other words, only by his will are there creation, maintenance and dissolution of the whole cosmic manifestation. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva are his three incarnations of the material qualities. Creation, maintenance and destruction respectively are under the charge of these three personalities. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, known within the universe as Hiranyagarbha and Antaryami or Super Soul, is glorified in the Vedic hymns beginning with the hymn that starts with the word Sahasra Shirsha.
What is this? Purushasapta.
This second personality of Godhead, known as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, is the master of each and every universe and the shelter of the external energy. Nonetheless, he remains beyond the touch of the external energy. The third expansion of the Vishnu is Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, who is the incarnation of the quality of goodness. He is to be counted within the both types of incarnations, Purushavatar, Gunavatars. Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is the universal form of the Lord and is the super soul within every living entity. He is known as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu because he is the Lord who lies on the ocean of milk. He is the maintainer and the master of the universe. O Sanatan, I have definitely described the three Purusha avatars of Vishnu. Now please hear from me about the pastime incarnations.
You will read this verse. Leelavatara Krishnera Nayaya Ganana Pradhana Karya Kahi Digdarshana.
No one can count the innumerable pastime incarnation of the Lord Krishna, but I shall describe the principal ones. Some of the pastime incarnations are the fish incarnation, the tortoise incarnation, the Lord Ramchandra, Lord Narasimha, Lord Vamana, Lord Varaha. There is no end to them. O Lord of the universe, based of the Yadu dynasty, we are offering
our prayers.
You can
skip those references. We'll move ahead. I have given a few examples of pastime incarnations. Now I'll describe the Gunavataras. Who are they? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Tina Gunavatara. So, there are three functions of the material world. Creation, maintenance and destruction. The Lord incarnates as these three, sattva, rajas, tamas, and does the transaction of the material world takes place. Because of past pious activities mixed with devotional service, first class living entity is influenced by the mode of passion within his mind. Such a devotee is empowered by Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. In this way, an incarnation of Krishna in the form of Brahma engineers the total creation of the universe. Like that. Then, the reference which comes for that, then if in a kalpa a suitable living entity is not available to take charge of Brahma, then Lord expenses Brahma. That reference is also given. Then Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands a portion of his plenary portion and accepts the association of the material mode of ignorance, assumes the form of Rudra to dissolve the cosmic manifestation.
Rudra, Lord Shiva, has various forms, which are transformation brought about by the association with Maya. Although Rudra is not on the level with the Jiva Tattvas, he still cannot be considered a personal expansion of Lord Krishna. Milk is transformed into Yugurt when it associates with the Yugurt culture. Thus, Yugurt is nothing but the milk, but still it is not milk.
Okay, next.
Lord Shiva is an associate of the external energy. Therefore, he is absorbed in the material quality of darkness. Lord Vishnu is transcendental to Maya and the qualities of Maya. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The truth about Lord Shiva is that he is always covered with the three material coverings, Vaikarika, Tejasa, Tamasa. Because of these three modes of material nature, he always associates with the external energy and egotism itself. Shri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated beyond the range of material nature. Therefore, he is the Supreme Transcendental Person. He can see everything inside and outside. Therefore, he is the supreme overseer of all the living entities. If someone takes shelter of his lotus feet and worships him, he also attains the transcendental position.
So that's about Shiva. So now about Vishnu is explained. Palanartha Swamsha Vishnu Rupe Avatara Sattva Guna Drashta Tate Guna Maya Para.
For the maintenance of the universe, Lord Krishna descends as his personal plenary expansion in the form of Vishnu. He is the director of the mode of goodness. Therefore, he is transcendental to the material energy. Lord Vishnu is the category of the Swamsha because he has opulence almost equal to Krishna's. Krishna is the original person and Lord Vishnu is his personal expansion. This is the verdict of all the Vedic literatures. Departure. When the flame of one kindle. The conclusion is that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are simply devotee incarnations who carry out orders. However, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer, is a personal feature of Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma said.
Yes. So now this is like Brahmaji is just confirming that how he is subordinate to Vishnu. I am engaged by the Supreme Person of God to create. Following his orders, Lord Shiva dissolves and the Supreme Person of God in the form of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu maintains. Thus, the supreme controller of all the three modes of material nature is actually Lord Vishnu only. Like that.
Oh, Sanatan, now just hear about the incarnations who appear during the reign of each Manu, Manvantar avatars. They are unlimited and no one can count them. Just hear their source.
So, just hear. Okay? Yes, just hear what Sachisuch and Prabhu is reading.
In one day of Brahma, there are 14 changes of the Manus, and during the reign of each of those 14 Manus, an incarnation is manifested by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are 14 Manvantar avatars in one day of Brahma, 420 in 1 month, and 5040 in 1 year. During the 100 years of Brahma's life, there are 5,04,000 Manvantar avatars. The number of Manvantar avatars only 1 universe has been given. One can only imagine how many Manvantar avatars exist in innumerable universes, and all these universes and the Brahmas exist only during one exhalation of Mahavishnu. There is no limit to the explanations of Mahavishnu. Just see how impossible it is to speak or write of only the Manvantar avatars. In the Swayambhu Manvantar, the avatar is named Yajna. In the Swarochisa Manvantar, he is named Vibhu. In the Autama Manvantar, he is named Satyasena. And in the Tamasa Manvantar, he is named Hari. In the Raivata Manvantar, the avatar is named Vaikuntha. The Chakshusha Manvantar, Ajita. In the Vaivasvat Manvantar, Vamana. In the Savarna Manvantar, Sarvabhauma. In the Daksha Savarna Manvantar, Rishabha. The Brahma Savarna Manvantar, Vishvakshena. In the Dharma Savarna, Dharma Setu. In the Rudra Savarna, Sudhama. And in the Deva Savarna, Yogeshwara. In the Indra Savarna Manvantar, Brahadabhanu. These are names of the 14 avatars in the 14 Manvantaras.
So we got two nice questions for your exam today. What did I say? What incarnation I said? Oh yeah, of course. That was for yesterday, na? But for today's exam, I'm saying, you can list all the 24 according to the exact combinations of their Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, and the list of all the Manvantaras. What do you say? That and you can add this also. Don't worry, I'm just kidding. This is too much of memory overload for people to remember all this. But continue.
Okay. Oh, Sanatan, now hear from me about the Yuga Avatar, the incarnation for the millenniums. First of all, there are 4 Yugas.
Okay, we'll read these verses because something interesting is going to happen now. Shukla Rakta Krishna Pita Kramechari Varna Chari Varna Dhari Krishna Karena Yuga Dharma.
In the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali, the Lord incarnates in four colors, white, red, black, yellow. Respectively, these are the colors of the incarnation in different millenniums. This child had three colors according to the prescribed color for the different millenniums. Formerly he was white, red, yellow, and now he has assumed a blackish color. In Satyuga, the Lord appeared in the body colored white with four arms and matted hair. He wore tree bark and bore a black antelope skin. He wore a sacred thread and a garland of Rudraksha beads. He carried a rod and water pot and he was a brahmachari. The Treta Yuga Lord appeared in the body that had reddish hue and four arms. There were three distinctive lines on his abdomen and his hair was golden. His form manifested the Vedic knowledge and he bore symbol of sacrificial spoon, ladle and so on. In the white incarnation, as a white incarnation, the Lord taught religion and meditation. He offered benediction to Kardama Muni, and in this way he showed his godless mercy. In Satyuga, the people were generally advanced in the spiritual knowledge and could meditate upon Krishna very easily. The people's occupational duty in the Treta Yuga was to perform the great sacrifices. This was induced by personality of Godhead in his reddish incarnation. In Dwapar Yuga, the people's occupational duty was to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Krishna, appearing in the blackish body, personally induced people to worship him. In Dwapar Yuga, personality of Godhead appears in the blackish view. He dressed in yellow, he holds his own weapons, and he is decorated with the Kostubh jewel and mark of the Shivatsa. That is how his symptoms are described. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expanded as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. In the age of Kali, intelligent
person... Ei mantra dvapare kare Krishna archana. Krishna nama sankirtana Kali yugera dharma.
By this mantra, the people worship Lord Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, the occupational duty of the people is to chant congregationally the holy name of Krishna. In the age of Kali...
Pitavarna dharitabe kaila pravartana prema bhakti dila loke laya bhakta gana.
In the age of Kali, Lord Krishna assumes the golden color and, accompanied by his personal devotees, introduces Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. By this process, he delivers love for Krishna to the general populace.
Dharma pravartana kare vrajendra nandana prema gaya nache loke kare sankirtana nache loka kare.
Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, personally introduces the occupational duty of the age of Kali. He personally chants and dances in the ecstatic love, and thus entire world chants congregationally.
So Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna verse is given as a reference. Aratina yuge dhanyadi yei phalahaya Kali yuge Krishna nama se phalapaya.
In other three yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, people perform different types of spiritual activities. Whatever results they achieve in that way, they can achieve in the Kali Yuga simply by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Oh, seriously? Okay. So then two more references are given for that. Many references are given. Question, yes.
Mahaprabhu is speaking about his incarnation himself.
Mahaprabhu is?
Is it Mahaprabhu speaking now?
Just hold on. Let's see what... The chapter is not over.
No. I meant to say, he is disclosing his incarnation himself. You know?
He is just repeating words of Shastra. Let's see what happens next. Text number 348. Purvat likhi abe gunavatara gana asankhya sankhya tara nahaya ganana.
As stated before, when I described the incarnation of the material modes, one should consider that these incarnations also are unlimited and that no one can count them.
Chariyugavatare eta ganana sunibhangi kari tare puche sanatana.
Thus, I have given the description of the incarnation of the four different yugas. After hearing all this, Sanatana Goswami gave an indirect hint to the Lord.
So now your question will be answered. Raja Mantri Sanatana Buddhi Brihaspati Prabhura Kriparte Puche Asankochamati.
Sanatana Goswami had been a minister under the Nawab Hussain Shah, and he was undoubtedly as intelligent as Brihaspati, the chief priest of the heavenly kingdom. Due to the Lord's unlimited mercy, Sanatana Goswami questioned him without hesitation.
So now Sanatana will ask the question. Atikshudra jiva mui nicha nicha chara kemane jani bekatire kona avatara.
Sanatana Goswami said, I am very insignificant living entity. I am low and poorly behaved. How can I understand who is the incarnation for this age of Kali?
So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that how everybody in the Kali Yuga is like so fallen, they can't figure out who the real avatar is. So for the welfare of all the citizens, Sanatana is asking, who is this fourth Kali Yuga avatar you've been talking about? Right? So what doubt you had, Sanatana already predicted that 500 years ago. And then he's going to ask now. But look at the transcendental answer that Mahaprabhu gives. Prabhu kahe anyavatara shastra dware jani kalite avatara tache shastra vakye mani.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, as in the other ages an incarnation is accepted according to the direction of the Shastras, in this age of Kali, an incarnation of God should be accepted in that way.
Right. So, directly some names are given. But for Kali Yuga, you have to see the indications that are given. Then, Sarvagya Munira Vakya Shastra Pramana Amasabha Jivera Haye Shastra Dvara Jnana.
The Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasdev are evidence of all the spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge.
Prabhupada Koshuti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidhimina. So even Hari Bhakti also can create Utpat in the society. So therefore need for following the scripture. That's what we were discussing yesterday also. When I was emphasizing that how sometimes we like to compromise on principles of dharma which are mentioned in the scriptures for the sake of some emergency situations. If you do not follow Shruti Smriti Purana, even though you are with good intentions, you are doing the right kind of bhakti, you will create long-term impact in the society, utpat in the society. So better stick to the path of dharma, because it's like the general laws of physics of nature. What scriptures are talking about are the general laws. So if you try to violate them, you are creating an impact. Though temporarily you may see some benefit coming, but long term you'll create impact. Some kind of a detrimental thing. Like for example, can you think of something done for a noble cause which has created permanent damage? Yeah, right? See, something like that. It has created, all that energy research went on hoping to find solution for all the future energy problems of the world. But then it ended up being used as a... So, better not mess around with the laws of nature. Follow the textbook. Because sometimes, especially for the sake of preaching, sometimes we tend to compromise on certain things. You will initially get very quick results. But the legacy that you create, if somebody else tries to follow, they burn themselves. And two, within your own setup also, after a few years, you will start seeing problems. So better stick to the textbook process. Of course, it requires maturity. Not that I'm saying stick only to the strict textbook process. A balance, but be aware that, you know, every time you bend the rules, you are creating an impact. Just like how what happens in that pastime of in Prithu Maharaj episode, every time Indra took one form of a Dhongi sannyasi, at that moment it was a victory for him or an opportunity for a victory for him. So short term benefit was there. But look what happened now. It created a whole sampradaya of apasampradayas. One mistake, one momentary gain he wanted for like few moments, minutes he wanted to gain something, but it create for the rest of eternity there's damage created. So that is how we have to be extremely careful with these things. Okay? Huh? What did? All these kapalikas and all those tradition which, you know, Prabhupada writes, those who are wearing the red dress, who are carrying the skull in their hand, those who are those Naga Babas, all these mendicants who are not exactly the Naga Babas are sort of okay, but they are these non-bona fide people who don't wear any clothes. So all these people, they are inspiring people in the wrong sides of renunciation. They are creating a bad reputation for those in the renounced order. So they are, and people are thinking by imitating them and following them, simply by giving up material possessions you will be able to attain perfection. But giving up material possessions will not reduce our material desires. There is a proper way to regulate the material desires. So that training people are not given. So that creates havoc in the society. Like that. Sometimes even within a bona fide sampradaya, like within our own movement also, due to some short-term benefits, we did some things, but which later on created impact. Right? So work now, samadhi later. Those philosophies which came earlier on, it created impact. It burnt out many people. So, and we are still haven't recovered from many of those damages that were done earlier on due to some immaturity in our understanding. So these are all small things which you are seeing, but they compound after many years. Like that. It is there in? Of course it is misleading. It is not our Siddhanta. Devotional service or service attitude is not that. Any questions? So that is the thing. When devotees are eager to hear your voice on mic, so take the mic. No, many times some contextual statements of Prabhupada have been made as Mahamantras, has been made as the standard way of doing things. That has created problem. So yes, Prabhupada did give Chaitanya Charitamrita marathons and he did do those things. But he didn't make that as a de facto way of working all the time. So what had happened is, some things were, any kind of imbalance will show up in the natural growth of an organic organism. So all these things are abnormal ways of working and doing things. So it will show up on the overall movement, overall growth of our spiritual movement. And it has shown up, you can see. So we are trying to stabilize. So all the efforts which are happening now in the last 10 years or 20 years or so are being to stabilize those imbalances and damages which were created earlier on. Right? So that's an indication. Okay. So better Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatantra. So don't innovate without adhikar, and don't think too much. Don't speculate and construe different meanings from the scriptures like that. Okay, continue. Avatarana hi कहे आमी अवतार, मुनि सब जानी करे लक्षण विचार, मुनि सब।
An actual incarnation of God never says, I am God or I am incarnation of God. The great sage Vyasadeva, knowing all, has already recorded the characteristics of the avataras in the Shastras.
And the quotation is given, Swarupa lakshana arata tashta lakshana Eidui lakshane vastu jane muni gana.
By two symptoms, personal characteristics and marginal characteristics, the great sages can understand an object.
The bodily features, nature and form of the personal characteristics, knowledge and his activities provide the marginal characteristics. In the auspicious invocation at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva has described the supreme personality of Godhead by these symptoms. So Janmadisya Yatha is quoted. एश लोके परम शब्दे कृष्ण निरूपण सत्यम शब्दे कहे तारा स्वरूप लक्षण।
In this invocation from Srimad Bhagavatam, the word Param indicates Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the word Satyam indicates His personal characteristics.
Vishwasrityaji kaile vede brahma ke padaila अथ भी ज्ञात स्वरूप शक्ति माया दूर कैला।
In that same verse it is stated that the Lord is the creator, maintainer and annihilator of the cosmic manifestation, and that he enabled Lord Brahma to create the universe by infusing him with the knowledge of the Vedas. It is also stated that the Lord has full knowledge directly and indirectly, that he knows past, present and future, and that his personal energy is separate from Maya, the illusory energy.
E sab karya tara tatashta lakshana anya avatara eche jane mui gana.
All these activities are his marginal characteristics. Great saintly persons understand the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the indications of the two characteristics known as Swarupa and Tatastha. All the incarnations of Krishna should be understood in this way.
So, Krishna has, so when you say Param Satyam, so his Param, that is his Swarup Lakshan, and the second category is his Satyam. All his personal characteristics, his qualities are described in that Satyam, one word. So, every incarnation has a Swarup Lakshan and a Tataksha Lakshan. So, those, based on that, we have to identify who are those incarnations. So, like that, Mahaprabhu is trying to give a very gross, indirect answer. अवतार काले हये जगत गोचर ए दुई लक्षणे के ह जानये ईश्वर।
At the time of their appearance, the incarnations of the Lord are known in the world because people can consult the Shastras to understand an incarnation's chief characteristics known as Swarupa and Tatastha. In this way, the incarnations became known to great saintly persons.
So basically he gave an absolutely right but totally irrelevant answer. So this is one thing you should learn if you are a speaker or if you want to be a speaker. His characteristics, qualities, like for example for the Kali Yuga, the given that he will be doing Nam Sankirtan, his golden yellow in complexion. So what are the Tataksha Lakshanas of the Kali Yuga avatar? Sanatan already knew that because he is already a Vedic scholar. So, he is going to tell. So, based on these lakshanas, what do you think? Who's the incarnation? He's going to ask more. Sanatana kahe yate ishvara lakshana pitavarna karya prema dana sankirtana.
Sanatana Goswami, the color of the personality in whom the characteristics of the Lord are found is yellowish. His activities include the distribution of love of Godhead and the chanting of the holy names of the Lord.
So is this what he does? Is he yellow in complexion? And does he keep distributing love of Godhead by chanting the holy names? Is it what he does? Kali kale se Krishna avatara nischaya suhruda kariya kaha yavika samshaya.
The incarnation of Krishna for this age is indicated by these symptoms. Please confirm this definitely, so that all my doubts will go away.
So Sanatan wanted to confirm if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incarnation or not. But since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not escape Sanatana's argument, he remained silent on this point and thereby indirectly accepted Sanatana's statement. So at this point, Mahaprabhu became silent. He didn't answer anything. But then he said, Prabhu kahe chaturali chhada sanatan shaktavesha avatareshu navivaran. Chalo, aage badhte.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, O Sanatan, you must give up your intelligent tricks. Now just try to understand the description of the shaktavesha avatars.
Yes, like that. So Mahaprabhu completely bypassed the whole discussion. So, but from that you can understand. Because Mahaprabhu previously said, if somebody admits that he is avatar, he is not avatar. A real avatar never admits. So like that. Okay, continue.
There are unlimited shaktavesha avataras of Lord Krishna. Let me describe the chief among them. Empowered incarnations are of two types, primary and secondary. The primary ones are directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are called incarnations. The secondary ones are indirectly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are called vibhuti. Some shaktavesha avataras are the four kumaras, Narada, Maharaj Prithu, and Parshuram. When a living entity is empowered to act as Lord Brahma, he is also considered a shaktyavesha avatar. Lord Shesha in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha and in the material world Lord Ananta, who carries innumerable planets on his hoods, are two primary empowered incarnations. There is no need to count the others, for they are unlimited. The power of knowledge was invested in the four Kumaras, and the power of devotional service was invested in Narad. The power of creation was invested in Lord Brahma, and the power to carry innumerable planets was invested in Lord Ananta.
So this is like important. So Jnana Shakti, Bhakti Shakti, Srishti Shakti, Bhudharana Shakti. These are four Shaktis, and each of these have been empowered into each personality like that. Okay.
Continue. The Supreme Personality of Godhead invested the power of personal service in Lord Shesha, and he invested the power to rule the earth in King Prithu. Lord Parshuram received the power to kill rogues and miscreants. Whenever the Lord is present in someone by portions of his various potencies, the living entity representing the Lord is called a Shaktyavesha avatar, that is, an incarnation invested with special power. As explained in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spread himself all over the universe in many personalities through specific powers known as vibhuti.
And then Yadyad Vibhuti Matsattvam is quoted. And the next two verses are also quoted then. Thus I have explained specifically empowered incarnation. Now please hear about characteristics of Lord Krishna's childhood, boyhood and youth. Hare Krishna. Text number 378. Now, very nice characteristics of Krishna, how Krishna is in different ages and his different pastimes, how there is, Krishna also is in Purna, Purnotara and Purnatama. He is complete, more complete and most complete. So how is he like that? So he's different, so even Krishna himself exhibits different moods. So much so that he's as good as he's a different avatar. Like Krishna in Dwaraka is totally different from Krishna in Vrindavan. It's like as good as an avatar. So, but in spite of all this, who is the real Krishna? Who is the Swayam Bhagavan? That will be highlighted now. So, it's like, for this is like a precursor to the next chapter where what the sweetness of Krishna is glorified. Kishora, Kaishora, Shekhar, Dharmi, Vrajendra Nandan, Prakrita Leela Karibare, Yabe Kariman.
As the son of Maharaj Nanda, Lord Krishna is by nature the paragon of Kishore, youth. He chooses to exhibit his pastimes at that age.
Continue.
Before his personal appearance, the Lord causes some of his devotees to appear as his mother, father and intimate associates. He then appears later as if he were taking birth and growing from a baby to a child and gradually into a youth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally enjoying himself. And he is the shelter of all kinds of devotional service. Although his ages are various, his age known as Kishora, Priyut, is best of all. When Lord Krishna appears from moment to moment, he exhibits his different pastimes, beginning with the killing of Putana. All these pastimes are eternally being demonstrated one after another. The consecutive pastimes of Krishna are being manifested in one of the innumerable universes moment after moment. There is no possibility of counting the universes. But in any case, some pastime of the Lord is being manifested at every moment in one universe or another. Thus, the Lord's pastimes are like the flowing Ganges water. In this way, all the pastimes are manifested by the son of Nanda Maharaj. Lord Krishna exhibits his pastimes of childhood, boyhood and pre-youth. When he reaches pre-youth, he continues to exist eternally to perform his rasa dance and other pastimes. Descriptions of Krishna's eternal pastimes are in all the revealed scriptures. But one cannot understand how they are continuing eternally.
So this idea of Nitya Leela. So even for the acharyas, when we say the word Nitya Leela Pravishta Jayom Vishnu Pada Paramahansa, what does Nitya Leela mean? They are always absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. They are always performing pastimes. They are always present. Yes, their physical presence may not be there, but their preaching is still going on. For Krishna, how do you understand the famous analogy that Prabhupada gives to explain how Krishna leelas are nitya? The example of the sun. Yeah, at every point in the world, so at every moment in the world, there is Mangalarti happening at this moment. At every moment in this world, there is Guru Puja happening or Darshanarti happening. At every moment, yes, devotees are eating Rajbhog. So these are Nitya Leelas. So like that. So that example, Prabhupada, it comes from this section of CC. Continue.
Descriptions of Krishna's eternal pastimes are in all the revealed scriptures, but one cannot understand how they are continuing eternally. Let me give an example by which people may understand Lord Krishna's eternal pastimes. An example can be found in the zodiac. The sun moves across the zodiac day and night and crosses the oceans between the seven islands, one after the other. According to Vedic astronomical calculations, the rotation of the sun consists of 60 dandas and it is divided into 3600 palas. The sun rises in steps consisting of 60 palas. 60 palas equal 1 danda and 8 dandas comprise 1 prahara.
How much is 1 pala in our modern? Pal. Why 1 pal kitna hota hai? One pahar is how much? Huh? 3 hours. 8 dandas comprise 1 pahar. So 1 danda is how much? Ta-da-ta-da. 3/8. Oh no. 3/8 kitna hua? Quick. Huh? Okay. So kitna minute ho gaya wo? Ek danda kitna ho gaya? 40? Okay, 3 hours is how many minutes? 180 minutes. 180 minutes divided by 8. Kitna hua? 22.5 is 1 pal. Ah, okay. Yeah. Nahi, pal. Pal ka bol. To ek danda ho gaya 180 by, let's calculate, 180 by 8. Kitna ho gaya wo? 22.5 minutes. Is 1 danda. 22.6 divided by 6 is by 60. One third is 0.3. So 0.3 of a minute. That is how much? About 18 something. So something, 22, I say, okay. Yeah. So 22.5 pala, seconds is 1 pal. Okay. Continue.
The day and night are divided into 8 praharas, 4 belonging to the day and 4 belonging to the night. After 8 praharas, the sun rises again. Just as there is an orbit of the sun, there is an orbit of Krishna's pastimes, which are manifested one after the other. During the lifetime of 14 Manus, this orbit expands through all the universes and gradually it returns. This Krishna moves Thus Krishna moves with his pastimes through all the universes one after another. Krishna remains within a universe for 125 years and he enjoys his pastimes both in Vrindavan and Dwarka. The cycle of his pastimes turns like a wheel of fire. Thus Krishna exhibits his pastimes one after the other in every universe. Krishna's pastimes, appearance, childhood, boyhood and youth are all manifested beginning with the killing of Putana and extending to the end of the Maushal Leela, the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. All of these pastimes are rotating in every universe. Since all Krishna's pastimes are taking place continuously at every moment, some pastime is existing in one universe or another. Consequently, these pastimes are called eternal by the Vedas and Puranas. The spiritual abode known as Goloka, which is a pasturing land for Surabhi cows, is as powerful and opulent as Krishna. By the will of Krishna, the original Golok and Golok Dhamas are manifested with him in all the universes. The eternal pastimes of Krishna are continuously taking place in the original Golok Vrindavan planet. These same pastimes are gradually manifested within the material world in each and every Brahmanda.
So in this purport, actually, Prabhupada quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he summarizes the previous discussion, because Bhaktisiddhanta is an astrologer. So how, but he doesn't give too many calculations in this purport, but he just presents, just like the motion of the sun. So Krishna is also moving with all his entourage. So the question comes, does Krishna have new set of parents in every universe? So Jiva can also expand by Krishna's desire. So simultaneously, so all is, so does it mean even his Shaktavesh avataras are also expanding everywhere? Of course, can be is... But so then which means Krishna's pastimes with his Jivas are limited, are not... Of course, those who are Parishadas, they will expand. But they are not Parishadas, they will not expand. So every Jiva, every universe, Krishna has to look for some new... Huh? It's not necessary, it has to be the same way also. Yeah, but like for example, of course, this is with respect to material and spiritual worlds. Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was once mentioning that how we are fortunate to celebrate Krishna's Janmashtami. In spiritual world, they can't celebrate Janmashtami. Because Krishna never took place, nobody knows his birthday there. Janmashtami Leela happens only in the material world. Or Janam Leela happens only in material world. So there are some pastimes like this which are exclusive to material world. In none of the killing pastimes are also there in spiritual world because no demons exist there. Huh? Preaching also doesn't happen in spiritual world. But Krishna Katha is going on. Preaching is not happening, but Krishna Katha is continuously going on. Like that. Yes.
The expansion of Jiva in Krishna Leela, is it like the expansion of Shobari Muni? Or is it the expansion like Krishna only in Dwarka?
Like Krishna only.
In Dwarka.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. So they are all independently doing things. So like that. But being born in different universes is not compared to like in the case of expansion. That expansion concept comes if they are within the same Kala Chakra, if you are able to expand, then it is called an expansion potency. There, otherwise it is an avatara potency. So within the same, when you are talking about say Krishna appearing in this universe and the next universe, it is not called Krishna is expanding, Krishna is appearing. So because they are operating two different time frames, that is still a comprehensible activity. But within the same universe, like Krishna is giving one lecture in this room and he is doing something else in another room in same GEV only. That is the special potency that only Krishna exhibits. That's what was happening in Dwaraka. Within the same time frame, same Kala Chakra, same time, same vicinity also, but in different rooms, different palaces, Krishna is doing different things.
So that is not a privilege of any other...
No. Even the other expansions of like Shaubari Muni, they repeat the same activity. It's like clones. But here it's not like clones. Like that. So yeah, so it's, these are like highly, Priyavata is also one of the Shaktavesh Avataras. When one of the Palana potencies is there within him. So that he exhibits that Palana potency of the Lord. So it's mentioned. Otherwise, imagine creating another sun. Imagine splitting the islands. It's not ordinary activity to do. Like that.
Somewhere I was hearing, this after some few years will go back to Godhead.
Mm.
But then this rasa of preaching, this adventure of preaching will not get again.
Mm.
So let us take this take this opportunity and be a part of preaching, whichever
possible. Well, if you want to preach, Krishna is happy to keep you in material world. Maybe Prabhupada is preaching in some other different planet somewhere. Some of his associates might have gone there also. He said, but Krishna, I don't know what plan he has. He did such an exceptional job here. So he might have got recommendation to go to some other place also. So yeah, if you want to preach, because for such, at that level of consciousness, doesn't matter whether you are in material world or spiritual world. But the thought is nice. Preach as much as you can now and move on. Okay, this is important. Vraje Krishna Sarveshwarya Prakashe Purnatama Puridvaye Paravyome Purnatara Purna.
Krishna is complete in the spiritual sky, Vaikunth. He is more complete in the Mathura and Dwarka, and he is most complete in the Vrindavan, Vraja, due to his manifesting all his opulences.
So Purna, Purnatara and Purnatama. That's how he is complete, more complete and most complete. So this is stated in the dramatic literature. So this terminology takes from that. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not manifest all his transcendental qualities, he is called complete. But when his qualities are manifested, he is called more complete. But when he manifests all his qualities in fullness, he is called most complete. That is a version of the learned scholars in the devotional service. The most complete qualities of Krishna are manifested within Vrindavan, and his complete and more complete qualities are manifested in Dwaraka. E Krishna Vraje Purnatama Bhagavan Arasabha Swarupa Purnatara Purnanam.
Lord Krishna is the most complete Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Elsewhere, all his expansions are either complete or more complete.
Sankshepe kahilun Krishnera Swarupa Vichara Ananta kahite nare ihara vistara.
Thus, I have briefly described Krishna's manifestation of transcendental forms. This subject matter is so large that even Lord Ananta cannot describe it fully.
In this way, Krishna's transcendental forms are expanded unlimitedly. No one can count them. Whatever I have explained is simply little glimpse. It is like showing the moon through the branches of a tree. But still, whoever hears or recites the description of expansions of Krishna's body is certainly a very fortunate man. Although this is very difficult to understand, one can nonetheless acquire some knowledge about the different features of Krishna's body. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purport to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela, describing how Sanatana Goswami met the Lord at Varanasi, receiving knowledge of the Absolute Truth.